You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
We have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
The average citizen, if they did what the TSA agents do, would be arrested.
Would you submit to one of these pat-downs?
Not if I could avoid it. No, I mean, who would?
If you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
I'm traveling today to Las Vegas to the Natural Products Association Annual Expo. And because of that, I pre-recorded some very special interviews and segments for you today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Please enjoy while I'm up in the air. The healing continues right now. David Freud is joining us now here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. He's the co-author of a new book called The Healing Gift, Exploring the Remarkable World of a Medical Intuitive. That is his wife, Linda Freud. And it's such a stunning book. It's so comprehensive. I've read it cover to cover, from the basic science to the most amazing discoveries going back thousands of years. There are different aspects in different chapters you'll find fascinating. I almost don't know how to start with you, David. We've talked about the challenge here, but welcome first and foremost to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. David, we met over the years at a lot of these medical conferences. We have a lot of mutual friends, including Stephen Levine over at Allergy Research and a number of other healthcare providers that are holistically inclined and love very dearly. And you've been a great adjunct to the group of friends that we have out there.
Well, thanks so much. It's true. It's a very good community of healers. And we all kind of convene at these watering holes, these conferences, everything from A4M to just smaller shows. And it's always good to see you.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, as when we first met, you were talking about, you told me about your wife and a medical intuitive. Of course, my background in homeopathic medicine and energy healing, so it didn't faze me and didn't even shock me, the things you were telling me. But it's still a fantastic story we've got to get into. And I just want to prep the audience to let them know that this story goes to the most, I'd say, mundane aspects of physiology, but to the deepest aspects of esoteric spiritual psychology and beyond, going back to the origins of Judeo-Christian thought and basis. It's a fantastic journey.
It's a very unique situation, and I can tell you that every time I watch Linda work, I know that I'm blessed because I get to watch miracles. I get to see this in action. I get to watch her converse with other worlds and astral travel into other time-space dimensions to pull down medical information. So I'm truly blessed to watch this.
Now, I'm going to tell a story here I don't think I've told on the air, and I think it relates because I was raised, and you know this, David, pharmaceutically. I talked a little bit about my history, about my dad was a pharmaceutical rep, his brother was a doctor. I was raised in an allopathic medical family, but I was also ill because of what they did to me, and I had to one day learn to unlearn and detox and such. But at a certain point in my young life, I was diagnosed with inflamed tendons or tendonitis. I mean, I was a child with inflamed tendons, and they were trying to give me the non-steroidals and the steroidal stuff to reduce the inflammation, and I really had lost a lot of functional mobility in my knees. Then my aunt came to visit from London, and she had been – it's my mom's sister. She had been – in a severe car accident early in her life, and she lost sight in one eye, but she came out of it with special healing gifts. She was able to actually lay hands on you know, the injured or the sick, and they would get well. Now, this is something that's talked about even in the Bible, and she didn't claim to have powers, but that they were being utilized through her. I was a kid. What do I know? I said, sure, Auntie Ruthie, put your hands on my knees. And literally 2 weeks of treatment as a child, I was up walking and running and jumping beyond the doctors. They thought I might have to have surgery. I went back, and they were astonished by what had happened. So for me, when you told me about your wife, Linda, and her intuitive gifts, it was not frightening to me. It was not even out of the ordinary. It was something, wow, we really need to let people know about this.
Well, I t- too have a fairly similar story in that sense, in that I come from a medical family. My father was a doctor as well, and my grandfather was a dentist, and there's a long lineage of Freuds that are all doctors. In any event, having said that, so my father was an internist, and I was raised in that world. In fact, as a child, I thought pharmaceuticals were quite wonderful. And they were certainly around the house. My father would have them, and would dispense them as he saw fit for my mother and the children. And so I was raised thinking that they were wonder drugs.
Right.
And I remember I wrote a little story in the book that I used to hang out at my father's office when I was a kid, and I remember seeing these pharmaceutical salesmen that would come in, these reps, and they would come in and they would bring a whole boatload of samples, and they would dump them on his desk. And it was like I was like a kid, like in a candy store. Not that they were for me, but I was watching him get all these free samples.
Right.
And I thought, wow, how wonderful was that? And they would explain the latest and greatest drug and advancement and treatment in this condition or that condition. And I just assumed that that was the cutting edge of medicine. I had no reason not to assume it. And obviously, there were a lot of erroneous ideas in those days. I remember eating Fleischmann's margarine. I mean, there were a lot of things.
Yeah, we had a similar upbringing, and what was normal to us and what was amazing, modern medicine, how great. We come to find out later in life, it was, although we would acknowledge it in its life-saving interventions for acute trauma care, that kind of thing, outside of that realm, it has become quite intoxicating. And unfortunately, the government structures on the planet have adopted it almost like a state religion and enforced its edicts, which are very toxic and diminishing of health in the big scheme of things.
Well, the problem is that the pharmaceutical establishment is so closely tied in with the educational system that basically the medical schools from the major universities crank out these medical students who are basically only schooled in the pharmaceutical approach. It's a cartel that is more ingenious than OPEC in terms of how they market, because the doctors that come out of the medical schools are primarily trained with this way of viewing health, that basically you treat either with pharmaceuticals or with a surgical procedure.
Right.
And so as a result of that mindset, it's very hard for somebody who's alternatively thinking to deal with somebody who paid for a very expensive medical license that only learned one way.
Right.
And not that there's not merit to that way. We just view it as another modality. It's another tool.
Well, exactly.
In the chest that has a place, but is either for chronic degenerative conditions, is either often only marginally useless, or useless or worse.
Yes, worsening. You're right.
And so it certainly many times should not be the method of first resort, but more a method of last resort.
Exactly.
And the whole thinking, but what I discovered in the research, all the research I did, which obviously started with my own illness, much like yours, and I'll get into that story, had to do with the fact that there's a disconnect between what a doctor gets from a diagnostic test, the results he gets, and how he concludes that he should treat the condition based on the information that he got from the test. So in other words, he gets the information from a test, and his automatic response is to use a pharmaceutical, which mainly will mask the symptom.
Well, it's being trapped in a paradigm, David, right? You know, if you're programmed to do this, like I've said this many times, if you're a hammer, everything sooner or later is going to look like a nail to you, because that's what you do. And so what we want to do is understand that these are tools, and they belong in certain places, but not necessarily others. And when we talk about healing, and we're going to expand on this topic of healing with your book, The Healing Gift, about you know, a lot of things, including, of course, your wife's amazing abilities and gifts. The idea is that we have access to information and that we utilize all of that information appropriately, but it's almost too overwhelming to know all of the things that can be done or maybe need to be done. Now, in terms of healing gifts, I mean, many people have written, you know, in the 20th century, or have read the book about the sleeping prophet, Edgar Cayce. You remember him? And the
sure.
That's a lot of people were introduced to the concept of, I don't know if they would call him a medical intuitive, but certainly he was doing things along these lines and brought back a lot of information that was validated throughout the 20th and here in the 21st century, still usable and viable.
There was no doubt that he was a major mystic, and I cannot say that he wasn't an influence on us. Certainly he was. Linda's gift works a little differently than anybody else in this field. I think we should probably start by defining what a medical intuitive is, because I found out in my market research that very few people actually know what a medical intuitive is. So let me just kind of lay it out. The term was actually coined by a lady named Carolyn Mice, who has written several books, very well-known books on the field, and she coined the term. But most people that are in this field are able to get information, but of a more vague sort. In other words, they can read auras, they can maybe do a certain level of channeling where they're sensitized to take the input, the information inputted from a client, and extrapolate cause and effect to a certain level. With Linda, this is a whole different paradigm. Linda, the claim that we are making is that Linda is channeling angels and spirits. And it's not just that she hears it and it comes out of the air. It's not that at all. She works with databases of thousands of pages of medical information, which I've put together over the years, of cause and effect of disease etiology. And she uses a pendulum, and she goes down a list with her holding the pendulum. I'm trying to say this in a way that your audience can visualize it. She's holding the pendulum in her right hand, and she runs her left index finger down a list of words going down in conjunction with a certain categories of information that she's looking for. So she's able to get extremely precise and accurate levels of information and details of information that are mind-boggling, that not only will verify information gotten on conventional medical tests, but go far deeper, because when you've been around this long enough, you realize that most conventional medical tests, while very accurate insofar as what they are doing, are more one-dimensional in nature,
yes,
meaning they do not provide a full picture of what is going on with the patient. The information they provide is valid, obviously, but it's not complete.
David, I have to concur with you, because in the book, the great specificity to which you refer is listed in great detail. Every aspect of these things that we're talking about. And that is interesting about the medical intuitive, because I found that to be the case in history, so to speak. It was more general. You sometimes would get vague interpretations. You weren't sure. But what Linda's doing here, and it's revealed in The Healing Gift, this wonderful book, with great specificity, dealing with physiology and emotional issues, and even homeopathic medicine. We talk about miasms, which most people do not understand, I recognize, but you'll go into that as well. So it really is taking this to another level. I've never seen anything like it. That's why I wanted to do this with you and start revealing this. And I know we can't do it all at once, but certainly those that are interested, I would encourage them to get the book, and we'll tell them how to do that as well.
Well, yes, it's this book is the result of a lot of years of research. The gift came in the early 90s, and we have been compiling research and data from her cases ever since then. And what we've concluded is we've come to several conclusions. Number one, the vast majority of chronic degenerative conditions today are due to some form of undiagnosed environmental toxicity versus lack of sanitation type of issues, although those obviously do rear its head from time to time. But the whole nature of disease itself is transformed over what it was, say, 100 years ago.
Right.
Meaning there certainly were cases of environmental toxicity. I mean, there were plenty of them. But the core cause of very serious chronic degenerative conditions that was often fatal was mainly due to lack of sanitation.
Right, improper hygiene, et cetera. But now we're dealing with toxicological aspects of our environment that were never before present on planet Earth in recorded history in this way. And that has changed, everything. And again, when we first talked and I saw that she knew that and you knew that, I said, you guys are on. You exactly understand what's happening here.
And the problem is that the diagnostic tests have not kept pace with the nature of disease itself, meaning this. If you have toxicity that is burrowed in tissue, like brain tissue, even liver tissue, it's very hard to go all over the body biopsying to find out the nature of a pathogen
very dangerous and invasive to do that. Well, we'll just biopsy every little body part. We'll figure it out.
and not only dangerous, but even incomplete because the way that they view that the allopathic model views toxicity or pathogens is that it must be a physical pathogen or a physical toxin.
You're right. Well, they will not go to the level of energetics and vibration and other things that are far beyond their scope of practice and understanding. And that's what we need to do. And your book expands on that. And it's very important to do so. This has been happening for a long time. And it's been heading this direction. But you're taking a major leap with your wife, Linda Freud, in this regard. We need to reveal more of that on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. My special guest today, David Freud. And he's written a book along with his wife. It's called The Healing Gift, Exploring the Remarkable World of a Medical Intuitive. I want to tell you, man, the things in this book will blow your mind, but in a good way. And we got lots more to cover. Stay with us. Rock in the health world. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Fascinating conversation today with David Freud, author of The Healing Gift, exploring the remarkable world of a medical intuitive. And as I said, I've read this book cover to cover, and what's in it, it's worth 10 books in one, and that's an understatement. David, what you put together is sensational. I know you went through a lot getting it out to print, and I'm glad it's there. But still, I think even though we've covered the definition of medical intuitive, we could probably expand on it for people to understand.
Yeah, because there's a lot of misinformation about what it is. The best way to say what a medical intuitive really is let's examine what a forensic psychic is. A forensic psychic is brought in to solve a crime that the police department may call in, and they're able to use extrasensory sort of approaches to find very specific and precise information that, as a result of that, can solve a crime that cannot be found through a conventional approach. In the same way, Linda is a medical psychic detective. That's the best way I could describe what she does. She's a medical psychic detective, and she's brought in to find the hidden causes of chronic degenerative conditions that have eluded conventional doctors and diagnostic lab tests. So things that will not show on conventional tests or even that a doctor would think of to look at, that's what she's able to find. So that's why the vast majority of her clients who work with her and in conjunction with Dr. Thomas Loeb, under whose medical license she works at the Benevita Medical Group in Beverly Hills, the vast preponderance of them are people who have already gone to a bevy of conventional medical doctors, may have even gone to other alternative practitioners, and are either not better or only marginally better.
Right. Well, and it's a very important point to reach at this juncture, because so many of the medical models that have been adopted are so limited in their scope and view of health and disease, that, you know, into an isolated little box, and anything outside of that is inexplicable to them, and it ends up being very dangerous for the patient, because they're often put on drugs because they don't know what else to do.
That is precisely correct.
And so
do not know what else to do. So, but what's very curious to me is, you know, I'll speak to doctors and they'll go, "Oh yes, the patient's doing better." Well, what'd you do? Well, I put them on Decadron or prednisone, and they're feeling better. Well, of course they're feeling better. It's controlling their inflammation. But the problem is, you're not addressing why they have a condition, just that they have some inflammatory process, and so you're controlling it with a steroid, which the problem with that is now it's hepatotoxic. It's toxic to the liver, and it causes big long-term problems. So and you're still not addressing the core reason why the person has the inflammatory process. So the idea that passes for real healing is very troubling to me, because it is not. It is a Band-Aid approach in a factory medicine system that does not allow the doctor even the time, if he should have that inclination,
right,
to really get to know what's going on with his patient.
David, you know what? I'd love to see that, you know, things like what Linda's doing are more considered first resort, because it would curtail so much suffering that may be needless at this point, but we've been locked into a belief system that we must go through these other phases to do that. And I think there's a time now that we're having to leap ahead in consciousness, et cetera, to, you know, obliterate those limitations. It's like they become crystallized in a form like we've turned into, you know, stone statues. And if we could paint everybody and loosen the crust so we could start seeing reality as it really is, we would all be much better off for it.
Well, there's an interesting paradigm in ancient China. You used to pay the doctor when you were well. You stopped paying the doctor when you got sick, because then he wasn't doing his job. So it's a different way of viewing a medical reality. I'm not suggesting that we adapt that system, but what I am saying is that besides doing what we do in terms of investigating toxicity and the side effects of toxicity and seeing where that fits into the whole chronic degenerative picture, is there are so many things that a person can do to educate themselves, to learn really the rules and laws of health. Because what we see in today's world is that the way the medical system is going, I can kind of sum up Obamacare. Right now you get 10 minutes with the doctor and he gives you whatever meds he's going to give you, and out you go. With Obamacare, you'll get 5 minutes with a doctor and a bean counter from the government telling him what to do.
Yes.
So the point is that I'm not saying it's every man or woman for himself, but the bottom line is, unless you make a concerted effort to make health your hobby and really adopt the mentality of a hobbyist, you're at the mercy of those that may know but certainly may not know. And so it behooves you to really educate yourself and study those things, those laws of health, so that you don't go down that road, or you at least can minimize the damage path.
Well, many of those things, again, contained in The Healing Gift, the book. And in fact, if you haven't been to the website, I've got it linked up in today's show notes. And that is www.thehealinggift.com, thehealinggift.com. Medicalgroup.com, including it looks like there are ways that you can connect to the medical group that Linda is working through if people actually wanted to consult with her.
Yes. She is at the Benevita Medical Group under the license of Dr. Tom Loeb in Beverly Hills, California. Their website is Benevita.com. That's Benevida.com. And their telephone number is 310-289-2800. Again, 310-289-2800. The key thing that now that I've kind of described what a medical intuitive is and is to differentiate how Linda is different from any other medical intuitive. She's different insofar as the level of detail and accuracy that she is able to get.
Yeah, the specificity. We covered last segment. That's what astounded me. That took a much different tact or much different focal point from that broad kind of generalities to the great specificity on what it is, what's going on, and then what you can do about it. It's really empowering.
And the key thing is what we came also to realize is that there is no one approach to healing, meaning this, because so much illness today is environmental-based illness, you need all the weapons in the arsenal. There is no one approach. There are things, it's how you hybridize, it's how you mix and match modalities, because modalities do different things. For example, if one has a toxic liver, well, you could certainly say you have stagnant liver qi. Okay, so utilizing acupuncture will certainly be good to help correct that stagnant liver qi. However, you're not addressing necessarily the source of the stagnant liver qi, which is undiagnosed toxicity. That's not what Chinese medicine can do. What Chinese medicine can do is correct the effect of the toxicity on a temporary basis, and so it can correct that stagnant liver qi, but it's not addressing the core, deeper issue of why the liver got stagnant in the first place, which is undiagnosed toxicity.
Right.
Okay, so even if the patient goes to get a blood liver panel, well, it's certainly useful. Of course it's useful. In fact, our attitude is the more information, the better. But the blood liver panel will also not necessarily tell you what the toxin is in the liver. It may say, well, you have elevated liver enzymes.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it's very general again. Here's the funny part, David. The medical system becomes the thing that you're, whoa, wait, I thought it was a specific test. No, it's very general compared to what Linda is able to find. It's so funny.
And the key thing is that, so one gets a blood liver panel and you go, well, why do I have that elevated bun creatin level?
We don't know.
What's that? And the doctor will go, we don't know why. Just have it. Yeah. So they can tell you that you have a thing, but not why you have the thing, just that you have it. That's certainly quite useful, but it's a billion times more useful to know why you have the condition.
Well, and also, David, as you said, individualization to the patient. I mean, that's the harbinger, or if I could say the basic tenet of homeopathic medicine, for instance. You don't just give one remedy, the same remedy, to everybody all the time. You know, I mean, yes, we have common needs as humans, but from the standpoint of specificity, what is so fascinating, again, in the book that I was reading, I was like, gee, man, look at all the detail they're going through. Literally, not only identifying it, but then what direction to go is individualized. It's not like you're set into one system. I've seen medical intuitives work, and they only have one little system to plug into. This is so much beyond that. It's not even in the same ballpark.
Well, and that's correct. And the reason for that is because we found that you actually need all the weapons in the arsenal. If you are deficient in methionine, by gosh, you need methionine. You need that amino acid. You don't need a homeopathic. You don't need an herb. You need methionine. If you're not using the precursors that produce glutathione, the main antioxidant in the body, are not being produced because some toxicity is affecting precursors that make glutathione, well, by gosh, you got to provide that precursor. So it's knowing which modality you need to do a specific piece of a job. It's really like a construction site. I mean, you have to really know all your building blocks and materials and the strengths and weaknesses of each. And that demands having a healing game plan in place where you have short-term objectives, medium-term objectives, and long-term objectives.
Sure. So, well, and we talk about objectives, too. I'm also thinking about the fact that there's only one Linda Freud, your wife, and there are millions, if not billions, of people that need help, you know, and I'm thinking, this is overwhelming. It must be overwhelming for her, too. How is it that we can help others to do this in their own right? Because a lot of people do have healing gifts, although Linda's are certainly quite unique in the order of gifts. But how are we going to help all these people that need help?
Of course, that's correct. I mean, the honest truth is, on a good day, Linda can see maximum 4 to 5 people. So, of course, you're correct. I mean, that's on a really good day. If everybody's doing everything to help her, whatever, and so she can just focus on her work, that's the most people she could even see, because her work is very draining work. She has to rest between clients to regain her strength and detune from the client and get out of their vibration. And it's a whole process. So, of course, you're correct. The most important thing we can do is basically, as we make discoveries, to report, since there are so many, we can't conceivably see the number of people that would like to see Linda,
right.
is that we can just say, hey, in a broad number of cases, here's what appears to be working in this sort of condition.
Well, and that's what I
and
like.
That, and even it, be, that might not even be valid in a particular case, but in at least in a broad way, we can say these are what she's having success
well,
with.
Well, see, that's the acknowledgement that I wanted to hear, and I saw that in the book as well, that even if you can't see Linda, the fact is what you brought out in the book are such detailed explanations and indications that if people were able to adopt, you know, here, oh, that feels sort of right, you know, you're not going to go wrong because you're not talking about toxic things necessarily, although there have been times when Linda's indicated, oh my gosh, this person needs something that we wouldn't think they normally would need. But hey, that's why modern medicine is there, because even though I don't utilize it for much, I acknowledge the fact that it's there for some people at certain times of need. So it's all comprehensive in that way, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There's a lot more we have to do here. In fact, we're not even going to be able to do it all in one show, David, but I wanted to, you know, start introducing these concepts and introducing the audience to The Healing Gift, this wonderful book exploring the remarkable world of a medical intuitive. And we're going to come right back with another segment and explore deeper understandings of this. I may ask some questions about how this was even discovered, because this is fascinating beyond belief. But, you know, belief is where it starts as well. We'll talk about that, too. Going back thousands of years all the way to modern times with David Freud, my guest here on The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscles, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Worried about how you'll pay for retirement? Even if you haven't saved a dime, there's a way to trade up to a better life when you retire. The experts don't tell you because there's no money in it for them. But thousands of people rescue their retirement this way every year. You can too at GoRetireBetter.com. David and Ann from North Carolina did it. He had a computer job. She was a secretary. They worked hard, saved, but still, they didn't have enough to last long term. So they rescued their retirement, just like you can, at GoRetireBetter.com. Today, they live like the upper crust in a 3-bedroom home with a pool. They eat out all the time, go to concerts, take trips to the beach. They don't worry anymore about outliving their nest egg. Find out how they did it at GoRetireBetter.com. That's GoRetireBetter.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on earth.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
It's alive!
The masked man who outsmarted you and your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers?
answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Fascinating journey today with my good friend David Freud, his wife Linda Freud. The book is The Healing Gift, and the website, I've got it linked up, thehealinggift.com. Check it out. Fascinating, to say the least. And David, you know, one of the things I've covered over the years here is the difference between an idea called the germ theory, born out of Pasteur, although later acknowledged to be wrong before he died, and the law of the terrain. We talk about healing the terrain. You guys understand it. Linda understands it. You talk about environmental toxicity. Put it in a perspective that even the layperson of the laypersons can understand.
Absolutely. Okay, this is a core concept, and let me just say it with an analogy. Okay, suppose, let's set up a problem. You have a swarm of mosquitoes in an Okefenokee swamp. Since you're in Florida, I'll...
The Okefenokee, yes, that's great.
We'll use something local there. Okay, so you have a swarm of mosquitoes in the Okefenokee swamp. How do you get rid of them? There's only two ways. You can dive bomb them with malathion, and you'll kill them. But you'll also kill everything else. So what's the, and not only kill, but you'll create environmental toxicity.
Well, and also resistant skeeters. They're going to be back, and now that the malathion won't kill them.
Absolutely. The only other way to get rid of the mosquitoes is to drain the swamp. Then it's not hospitable for breeding, so they leave. So we are confirmed swamp drainers. That's how we kind of how we view.
We need a reality TV show, The Swamp Drainers, starring David and Linda Freud.
That's right. So having said that, we're always looking for the biological terrain, and that can be measured with levels of toxicity, and pH are the primary variables that are involved with that. Now, what happens is when you have undiagnosed toxicity, usually, often these toxins are highly acidic. And so what happens as a result of the acidity is it creates a breeding ground for undesirable pathogenic forms, and those are often fungus, bad bacteria, viral forms, and even it's even hospitable for parasitic forms. So, and then you have a war of the bacterial worlds, where the bad bacteria will get rid of the good intestinal flora, that sort of stuff. So frequently what we see is not only all sorts of problems that arise from undiagnosed toxicity in and of itself, but from the effects of it. And first and foremost, that we see quite often, is fungus. And you're correct. I spend time in The Healing Gift talking about fungus and the lack of what we have found in the allopathic world, the lack of understanding of various different fungal forms, and also a lack of awareness that fungal disease is responsible for all sorts of other chronic conditions. So we have two chapters, chapter 5 and chapter 6, which is devoted to an overview of the problem with fungus caused by toxicity, and then chapter 6, which is a discussion of pleomorphism and the discoveries of Enderlein and other people, and how we treat with homeopathy, principally with certain German products, to treat these fungal conditions in the most elegant, non-toxic way. Just one thing I want to say. The problem is, it's not that nystatin or diflucan, the pharmaceutical approach, doesn't work. It's just that they're toxic to the liver.
It's collateral damage. You can end up, like we talk about, spreading malathion in the swamp, and yeah, you can kill stuff for a while, but you're leaving yourself as susceptible, or perhaps more so, for future infection.
Right, and the problem is that the idea of candida, for example, is not accepted or appreciated still, as hard as that is to believe, by most mainstream physicians. They just don't even acknowledge the possibility, let alone the idea of other lesser known fungal forms such as mucoresmosis or Aspergillus niger, yeah, or other sort of forms. So the lack of awareness to even go there, let alone treat it in a way that doesn't have side effects, is often missing.
No, I know, but we cover that here on this show, so no stranger to these things, and I'm glad you're confirming a lot of that, which we have known for years. And as I said, that's why I was really drawn to the book and to you and your wife and the work you're doing, and want to bring it out. Now, we could share some stories, or we can go back into the backstory of Linda. What do you think would be appropriate
at this moment? I think the best way to start is to start at the beginning. And The key thing with this book is I had to my training is as a musician. I was a concert pianist and a jazz pianist and a singer-songwriter. So I certainly don't come from a medical background other than being from a medical family. But I experienced an enormous quantity of disease starting in the late 80s and early 90s. And it was so debilitating that it ended my career as a singer-songwriter. I was not able to continue. And it was a level of seriousness that basically managing my health became my full-time job because I was so ill that I was actively dying. And when I would see doctors, which was still my MO at the time, I found that what they did either did not help the situation or would make it worse. So I felt that there had to be a better way. And so I began to explore other alternative medicines, and it was no accident that I stumbled into what's called, in broad terms, German biological medicine. And through this, I was led to very esoteric forms of medicine that have to do with understanding toxicity and the side effects of a toxicity. And I became involved with practitioners that were involved in things called Vole testing and Vega testing, which you may have talked about from time to time.
Sure.
And does your audience, I don't know how aware they
are. Well, yeah, we've talked electroacupuncture according to Vole, and of course there are a lot of devices that seem like they're out of Star Trek now that are available and viable, and you know they're often only as good as the practitioner utilizing them, but you know, still it's a technique, it's a tool.
They're completely operator dependent, and that's the downside of it. And I talk about this in the book. So I talked about the fact that I was incredibly ill, and I tell a story. I was experiencing severe kidney problems, and I stumbled upon a guy doing Vole testing, and he told me that I had severe mercury toxicity. And I go, from what? And he said, well, it's from your fillings and root canals. And I said to him, I remember saying to him, you were either on the cutting edge of something that none of these doctors I'm seeing in Los Angeles knows anything about, or you're a complete charlatan who should be run out of town. It's one of the two. But I was only getting worse with the conventional doctors. So I was, at the time, I was also among my conditions as I was having terrible kidney problems. So I saw the head of nephrology at Century City Hospital years ago, and I told him I didn't talk too much about what this other guy who was doing the Vole testing had told me, but the gist is I told him I was pretty sure I had severe heavy metal toxicity, and he was very, very skeptical, and he says, well, okay, if you have heavy metal toxins, we'll give you a urine test. It'll show up there. Yeah. Well, that sounded reasonable enough to me.
Yeah.
So I went and took a urine test and sent it to the lab, came back essentially negative. He says, who is it that's telling you this tripe, that's telling you all this nonsense that you have heavy metal toxicity? And I was not going to reveal my sources because I could see he was incredibly hostile to anything that reeked of alternative medicine. But basically what I did is I talk about this in chapter one. I went and got another doctor to give me a heavy metal chelator, a pharmaceutical chelator, and I took the chelator that he gave me. It was called DMSA, and I was able to basically pee in a cup after 45 minutes. I thought I was in severe kidney pain, but I was determined to show this other doctor what was going on. So I took it back to the same lab, and it came back a 600% increase in mercury.
Yeah. What do you do? In your face, doc, in your face.
That's basically, I said to him, you know, you call this other guy who was doing the Vole testing a charlatan. Well, it seems to me that he was pretty right on. And basically, the doctor had no comeback. He didn't know what to say because he couldn't explain how I suddenly would have this incredibly high level of mercury showing up that didn't show up in a regular urine test. And this became a key thesis for us after Linda's gift came through, that the test, the diagnostic tests,
were incapable of determining that which Linda was detecting. I think,
exactly.
And you know, you got two things going on here. One, the grand disillusionment that modern medicine and their tests are really telling you all you need to know, and two, that Linda actually had an absolute gift that was spot on.
Well, getting to the gift, this is where the book is so different than other books, because the thesis is that the reason she is such a unique and accurate diagnostician is because she is channeling angels and spirits.
Well, hold on. Stand by. We got to come back and talk about this. We got one more segment this hour with David Freud. It's a fascinating story. That's why I'm taking the time to do this right. The Healing Gift is the book. David Freud is the author, along with Linda Freud, his wife, and has got a tremendous gift here we need to talk more about. Last week, I even mentioned angel animals, angel cats, angel dogs. This fits thematically very well, and I'm glad we're hitting that topic next. So stay with me. David Freud returns on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
As with any great story, you save the best for last, perhaps, but we've got lots more to do with David Freud here, The Healing Gift, and we're going to do some more than even beyond this one show. But right now, David, I have to ask, you mentioned the angels, we talking the gift, people are going, what is he talking about? What is this gift? How did she discover it? Tell me the story.
Well, the whole story of how the gift came about is quite extraordinary. As I mentioned, I was very, very ill when we met. We were put together by a mutual friend of ours who's a naturopathic doctor. And Linda was also quite ill, although not as sick as I was. And so when we met, our first dates were, how do you feel? Not too good. How do you feel? Not too good. Good, let's stay in. So that said, at the time I was already obviously involved not only with alternative medicine, because mainstream medicine had completely failed me, as it had failed Linda, but we were at this point also involved in our spiritual studies, because we came to understand that there were many causal factors even beyond physical reasons why we had to endure the things that we were enduring. So I got involved with the study of Kabbalah and which is Jewish mysticism. I'm Jewish, and it was just a natural flow for me. So I remember the whole way her gift came about is a very interesting story. Basically, we used to go to these shows, the alternative medicine shows and things like Whole Life Expos, these sort of things. And we were at a show in Pasadena, and we were walking up and down the aisles, and we came across a company called Kroger Herbs. So it was an old lady named Hannah Kroger.
She was awesome.
Yeah, she was amazing. And she was this old German Fräulein who used to dress in kind of a really old world sort of outfits. Anyway, so we go up to her booth and we're talking to her, and Linda sees these pendulums and she goes, oh, I always wanted a pendulum. And I was dating her, so I figured, all right, she wants it, I'll buy it for her. So I spent $20, whatever it was, on the pendulum and bought it for her. And I said, look, if you want to, you know, play with it as kind of an armchair curiosity, great. But she started getting very, very serious about this. And she would pick up supplement bottles, and it would go to the right, meaning that it was good, or it would go to the left, meaning not it was not good for the individual. And I found that as the more she got into this, that she was consistently matching the suggestions that our naturopathic physician was giving us. I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. And I wouldn't tell her what, you know, whether where I'd gotten things or whatever, and she was just able to figure it out in a way that was matching. So I started putting together these databases based on basically the way that Vole or Vega testing views how you break down a medical problem. And it starts with what's called a pretest, and which is a general categories.
Sure, it highlights or spotlights points that need further, you know, investigation.
Exactly. And then Linda would, once she highlights, like, you have a problem with enzymes. Well, we don't know what it is, but we know that in general, broad strokes, somebody has a problem with enzymes, or there's a hormone deficiency, or there's a heavy metal toxin, or this or that. General broad categories. Then she'll drill down farther to get deeper information. Any event, so I'm putting together this system. Suddenly, one day, as she's doing this work, and she starts convulsing. She's holding the pendulum, she starts convulsing. And it looked to me like it was epilepsy. I mean, I've seen epileptic attacks before, and it sure looked like that. So I said, great, Linda, it looks like you've got epilepsy. The only thing is, and I was all set to take her to the hospital to see the neurologist, but what I was noticing is it would only happen when she was holding the pendulum. Excuse me. So I said, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would holding a pendulum cause an epileptic attack? That's the only time she would experience this. Now, at the time, so I didn't rush to take her to the hospital. I just said, okay, well, let's take a wait-and-see attitude. So at the time, I'm studying a book called Meditation in the Bible by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, who's considered, among other things, a great authority on Kabbalah. And so I'm reading about what the Hebrew prophets used to go through. And it turns out that the key variable that they would experience when they were doing their prophetic visions is they would experience a shaking. And there are famous rabbis who describe in great detail what that shaking was about. And one rabbi said that he was talking about what the prophets would say, and the prophet said that they felt, quote, they were being turned inside out. So I put the book down and I turned to Linda and I go, Linda, what do you feel like when you start getting these convulsions when you're holding the pendulum? She thought about it for a second. She goes, I feel like I'm being turned inside out. I go, oh my God. And I said, look at this. And I showed her what was in this book. And it was also a discussion that the Hebrew prophets were communicating with angels. And then I showed this to her, and she says, yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm talking to angels. I said, you never told me. She says, well, I've just been doing it for a little while, and I've started this convulsing. And I showed her this, and as soon as I showed her this section on the Hebrew prophets, she started convulsing violently. It was like back and forth. And I, you know, so finally, after about 30 seconds of this, she stopped. And, you know, she had to rest. But it was like an angelic confirmation of what she was experiencing.
Well, you finding the biblical reference as well, that's fascinating. And
right.
Going back into, you know, the ancient mysticism of, you know, as I said, the basis for the Judeo-Christian religions. I mean, again, this is why this story cannot be contained into 1 hour. This book is so sensational. Where it goes is just beyond what you can expect. In it's a journey.
So our claim is not that Linda is a Hebrew prophet. That's for others to say, not for me to say or her to say. Whatever anybody else wants to say, they will say or not say. What we are saying is that she exhibits characteristics and tendencies that the Hebrew prophets exhibited as a result of the shaking and convulsing and as a result of extreme levels of accuracy. And when you think about it, if you were a prophet, which we're not saying that's what she is, but if you were, and you couldn't scientifically verify in today's time what it was that you were prophesizing, you would be considered a lunatic. So, therefore, the way her gift has been set up in terms of communicating with angels is because it ultimately is scientifically verifiable to a great extent, insofar as when people do what she says, all sorts of chronic conditions are healed, then you have to look at it and go, it's not that she can do it that's so astonishing, but why she can do it. That's the real paradigm breaker right here. Why Linda can do it. She can do it because she has made contact with angels and spirits.
Well, this is something that we're going to have to do more on, and I think we're going to have to do a part two on the discussion of the healing gift here, because it opens up a lot of possibilities, and it even goes into realms. Some people may not be comfortable going. I acknowledge that. But, of course, the power to heal is yours. It's the theme of this show, and it belongs to everybody. You can choose to go a route that you're more comfortable with or not. But right now, we're in a whole world of hurt, so to speak, and we need to be open to all of these possibilities for healing in order to get to the next phase. There's a lot of things that are well beyond seemingly our control. And I think Linda's gifts are very, very timely here in bringing that out with the Healing Gift book that you've written, David.
Thank you very much. If I may, I'd like to tell one story so people can understand the width and breadth of what it is that I'm talking about. Would that be okay, Robert? Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So here's a story. This is an example, and it's in the book. It's in Chapter 10. And it's a story of a couple that came to see Linda. It was actually an Orthodox rabbi who was in his late 20s and his wife who was in her early 20s. And the problem that they had is they were trying to conceive and they were infertile. And the problem was not with the woman, the problem was with the man. And they had gone to a very fancy in vitro fertilization clinic, and he had gotten a test called a morphological Kruger test, which is on a scale from 14 down to 0. 14 being that his sperm is incredibly fertile, and 0 meaning completely infertile. Okay, and it, generally when it's unfertile, it's also misshaped, meaning there's a head, a midbody, and a tail, and there's some problem with the shape.
Yeah, it's basically non-functional. You're not going to get any woman pregnant with that kind of sperm.
Correct. So he had gone to the in vitro fertilization clinic. They had done the morphological Kruger test, and his test came out 0. So what they did is they tried the normal approach of fertilization, and it didn't work. So what they had to do is they had to literally take the healthiest-looking sperm and inject it into an egg. You may have seen videos of this process. It's called an ICSI.
Very high-tech, yes.
Yeah, and they did that, and they were technically able to conceive. They put the fetus back in the womb of the mother, and 9 weeks later, the fetus was stillborn. Mm. And they took the fetus out, and they found it was deformed. So they were crushed. He asked the doctor, why is my sperm testing a 0 on this test? And the doctor said, we have no idea. We don't know why it is. We just see that it is. So they were desperate. For an Orthodox rabbi, it's not good to not be able to procreate.
You're right.
So they heard about Linda through the grapevine. They came to see Linda, and Linda determined that the core cause of his infertility was a mouthful of silver amalgam fillings, and that the mercury had leached from there down into his testicles. Mm. So she sent him to a biological dentist who was able to safely remove all of the amalgam fillings, and then she set about to detox the mercury not only out of that part of his body, but the fumes had distributed in multiple places in his body, and he also had fungal disease and parasitic conditions and all sorts of other chronic conditions. He was not a well man. And so Linda spoke to the angels, and the angels told her, her principal angel for healing is Archangel Raphael, and Raphael would be the anglicized way of saying it. And Raphael told her that if she could detox him from the mercury and get the Kruger test to show a 4 out of a scale from 14 down to 0, that they could conceive.
Beautiful.
So she spent 6 months detoxifying him of heavy metals. And the wife would always say at the end of each session, okay, can we go back to the clinic now? Hmm. And Linda would go, no, no, no. At the end of 6 months, she said, okay, can we go back to the clinic? And the pendulum went a little bit to the right. And Linda got, yeah, you could go back now. But, listen, dear, you're 23 years old. Your husband's a little bit sick. Let him spend another couple months, getting better, and it'll be even better. And she didn't want to hear about that. She took him right back to the clinic. And he goes up to the doctor and he says, I'd like another morphological Kruger test. The doctor says, Rabbi, all due respect, it was a 0. It doesn't change. A 0 is a 0. It doesn't change. He says, look, I'd like another test. Here's my money. I want another test. He says, all right. So he gives him another test, and it comes back a 5.
Hmm.
And the doctor looks at him and goes, what'd you do?
What did you do?
What did you do? And the rabbi looks at him and goes, never mind.
Never mind. That's a classic rabbi.
So they then proceed to do the in vitro fertilization. They have perfect twins, completely healthy.
Ah, as you say, mazel tov.
In Mazel Tov. So as a result of Linda's work, life came into the world.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful story. And that's only one of many that are in the book, The Healing Gift. And David, I'm so glad you would spend the time with me today to, for the first time, introduce this to my audience, because there's a whole other world of healing out there. And we recognize, and you do too from your background as well, that some of these concepts are very difficult to conceive of, much less, really totally understand or even embrace. But if you follow the story along, you'll open up and see what is possible. And that's what this is all about. Healing is about everything and anything, and I think God will use whatever means necessary to bring healing to us when we're open and ready.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about the book. It's a very unique book, and I hope that people get a lot of information out of it, not only medically, but also spiritually as well.
Yes, and they can, and bless you, David and Linda, for bringing this out. We'll have to do more on this, but this is the opening salvo to let everybody know about other healing realms and how to integrate them into their lives. That's what we do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show every day. Grateful for you to be here. And, of course, remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
There was so much that we did cover with David Freud in the 4-segment interview that we just aired that I asked him for a little bit more time to really flesh out some more of the questions that I had about his wife, Linda Freud, and her amazing gift and how she's helping people. So we're going to run that right now. A lot of people are suffering from fatigue, even chronic fatigue syndrome. Some people associate it with the Epstein-Barr virus, but it's more than that in many cases. How would Linda go through something like this with a person in need?
Well, you're correct. I would say of all the conditions she sees, that the most common is this kind of chronic fatigue syndrome, which is why it's called a syndrome. And it's a little bit different with each person, but the one characteristic that she always seems to come up with is some sort of undiagnosed toxicity. So the key thing is she starts off with the process we developed, which is called metaphysical systems engineering. And again, I spent years and years compiling cause and effects of disease etiology. These are all lists of words on pages that are broken down and organized for Linda to cover structure and function of organs and pathogens and toxins and all the different other variables, hormones, enzymes, all the different things that affect how any given organ or glandular system works and all the potential disease that can come up for that particular organ or organ structure or gland. So she will go through this and identify in broad strokes through something called the pretest, what are the key variables? And invariably it involves some sort of toxicity. The most common toxicity we find, that she finds rather, is heavy metals. And the most common of that is usually mercury, although certainly lead and cadmium and many other heavy metals are often indicated as well. Then she will find out where in the anatomy that the toxin is lodging, what organ tissue, where it's lodging. And then she will find out what other associated effects from the toxin exist. As I mentioned earlier, often that involves fungal disease. It can also involve a highly acidic terrain, which involves now creating a terrain that is hospitable to parasitic forms,
yeah,
or viral forms or other bad bacteria. So the key thing is to identify where the pathogens and toxins exist in the body, and then she's able to, and what other organ imbalances exists as a result of the toxicity, and then to craft a healing game plan that involves everything from homeopathy to orthomolecular nutrients, herbs, and diet. Linda will also craft a customized diet for where that person is at right now with their level of toxicity. And I can't get long-winded to talk about our theories on food, which are extensive, but she works from a lengthy list that contains every food and food category that I could think of, and she goes through with the pendulum, and she's able to craft a very precise diet for where the person is at right now,
yes,
as they enter a detox process.
David, specificity, again, is an understatement with Linda.
Yes, it's a level of precision that boggles the mind.
Yeah.
And so as the person begins to go through the detox, then she can become the diet can expand as well. It's not so restrictive. More foods can be brought into the diet. We view food as medicine. And so it's a piece of the puzzle. Every remedy, let me just say one basic thing. Every remedy or food does one of three things. It will either heal the patient, it's useless, or it's an adjunct as part of a larger healing protocol. Most things fall into that third category. It's very rare that a condition is due to one thing. It's possible, certainly, but often it's a confluence of various different factors. She can rank and prioritize the toxins and pathogens and other imbalances in the body, and the angels will tell her what needs to be treated first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Now, when she works with Dr. Loeb, he will interview the patient first, and then she does her workup and suggested remedy schedule, which she shows to him and he approves of. So it's a process that involves this teamwork. Obviously, he's extremely appreciative of those aspects of her gift, which she does on a unique level.
Sure, and I want to acknowledge, too, with Linda, I mean, physicians and doctors from all walks of backgrounds of life all over the planet regularly basically seek her out for her, you know, her talents, gifts, and her ability to help in so many cases. So it isn't even that it's just a lot of lay people are seeking this help from Linda. We're talking some of the top doctors in the world are also doing this.
Yes, our egos are well fed by doctors. People that actively endorse Linda include Dr. Thomas Rau from the Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland, where Linda has worked several times. Also, Gabriel Cousins, Dr. Dietrich Klinghart, people like that, Burton Goldberg, Hyla Kass, who wrote a wonderful foreword. All of these doctors not only endorse Linda, but collaborate with her on cases, and of course Dr. Loeb as well. So we have an international coterie of doctors and other healing professionals who all think very highly of Linda and love working with her.
Yeah, well, absolutely, for good reason as well. And like you said, that's why I'm encouraged and wanted to bring you back to talk a little bit more about the healing gift and how it works, what she does, and how practical it is, and the fact that many doctors are also availing themselves, if they have the ability to do so, to tap into what Linda's doing. And, you know, there's a lot more information to come here. And in the book, it's more than just about Linda's gift. And that's the center stage, believe me. But where that gift goes and what it communicates, and again, to the origins of Judaism as well. I mean, it's fascinating, to say the least. It's consciousness shifting to say as well adequately what this book is doing.
Well, thank you very much. I also just have a final thought. I want to extend an invitation to open-minded physicians that are interested in viewing medicine through this lens to contact us, which they can certainly do through our website. And Linda loves to work with doctors and works with doctors all over the country and, in fact, in Europe as well. So I extend that invitation. And to anybody who's interested in seeing Linda, please call the Benavita Medical Group in Beverly Hills. Their website is benavita.com, BENEVEDA.com.
Yeah, and of course the website is thehealinggift.com, altogether, thehealinggift.com, which also has links to the Benavita Medical Group and so much more. And of course, getting the book, The Healing Gift, is this something they could buy on the website? Do we send them to Amazon? What's the best place?
Yes, they can get the book. It's on Amazon, and it's available in Barnes & Noble and Borders and other major booksellers. It's published by Basic Health Publications, and it's available.
Beautiful. Well, I've got the links up everywhere here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Grateful for all of your work and efforts to bring this out, and grateful for what Linda's doing as well. It's definitely restoring that power to heal back where it belongs with the people. And, man, there can be is there a higher calling? I don't know, but it's right up there.
Well, listen, I thank you so much. And I just the telephone number at Benavita for anybody interested is area code 310-289-2800.
2800. And that's in the Los Angeles area. If anybody's out there or wants to travel there, people are coming from all over for this. That's David Freud with his wife, Linda Freud. The book is The Healing Gift. If you have not picked it up, it is a life changer. Thank you again, David.
Thanks so much.
Before I move back into my travel day interview, I've got a great one coming up with Christopher Barr. We're going to talk silicon, and we're going to talk connective tissue and skeletal integrity and all kinds of things, preventing cancer metastasis. But before I get there, there's another bit of good news I wanted to report to you while I'm up in the air, as they say. The FDA looks like they weren't defunded. It's not that good, okay? The news is good. It's not that good. But according to the Alliance for Natural Health, the ANH USA, the House cuts the FDA budget by a whopping $285 million. Wow, did somebody get my memo up there in Congress? This is great news. You know why it's even greater news? Is that with this budget hit, the so-called food safety law, remember the Food Safety Modernization Act? Can't be implemented. Nope. And also, there's no more money to approve Frankenfish. We reported on that here, as did Natural News, that the FDA would not be able to approve Frankenfish, the genetically modified salmon. It's huge news. Come on. That's big. Last week, the House of Representatives passed the Agriculture Funding Bill for fiscal year 2012. And the bill included a gigantic cut, as it's called. In relative terms, it is pretty big. This is particularly significant because they were tasked with implementing most of the provisions of the Food Safety Modernization Act that Congress snuck through around Christmas of last year, the scum-sucking pigs. Oops, did I say that? I'm sorry. It's supposed to be a kinder, gentler Robert today. Now, the Congressional Budget Office estimated that the cost of implementing the Food Safety Act would be about $1.4 billion with a B. Over 5 years. The whopping $285 million budget cut makes it likely that many of the enforcement and oversight provisions of the act will not be implemented. Hallelujah! FDA told an industry publication just before the vote, if the House funding cuts were approved, there would be a significant delay in implementation of the new Food Safety Modernization Act, including the law's 19 priority areas, especially import oversight, training, and inspections. Now, I bet that's a bald-faced lie. I bet they're going to still try to do import oversight. But what they're really complaining about is that they're not going to have the funding to go into your backyard and stop you from growing your own food. What did I say? The economics of scale would doom the imperial federal government. No matter how many laws they wanted to pass, they had to have the money to be able to implement. And when those FDA agents are not getting their money, they're not doing their job, however unconstitutional that job is. So the upside of Ben Bernanke bankrupting this country and monetizing the debt is that no federal agency is going to have the ability to enforce anything anywhere. And that includes all the neoconservatives in the liberal wing and the conservative wing that want to police the world. Even if you think it's necessary for our security, you will not have the money. None of us will have the money to do that which you think is so darned important. And if it was, you would cut elsewhere to make sure that that could be funded. But we're going to be coming home with our tails between our legs, not because our boys and girls are bad people, but simply we don't have the money to pay for them. And of course, that which much of what we're doing is not even constitutional. Again, how did I digress? But I don't. It's all related. It's all related. Before final passage of the agriculture funding bill, the House approved an amendment by Representative Don Young, Republican out of Alaska. Way to go, Don. To prohibit the FDA from spending money to approve an application for the controversial genetically engineered salmon. That's it. Cut the funds. They can't approve it. You follow me? Cut the funds. You can't send the money. It's all over. It's all about economics. You don't have to vote the bums out of office. Just watch them bankrupt themselves out of office. Now the funding bill, though, moves on to the Senate. Now, the Alliance for Natural Health, that's ANH-USA.org, they're going to work hard, as will I, to make sure that the GE Salmon Amendment stays in place so that they can't approve it. Now, if it passes the Senate as well, the FDA will not be allowed to use its funds in fiscal year 2012, to approve genetically engineered salmon. This, as I said, is big news, big economic news. The good news about the bankruptcy is that the violation of your freedom, the violation of the natural order of the universe is severely curtailed and limited, as it should have been done even without the economics, but they do not have the discipline, as you might imagine, to restrain themselves. We can't ask them to restrain themselves. That's unreasonable, Robert. You can't have them do that. But we can, and we will, and we do. Even if we do nothing, that is what is going to happen. When we come back from this break, I have a special interview conducted with my dear friend Christopher Barr, nutritional historian. We're going to hit the topic of silicon, the whole food that could save your life from cancer and also skeletal diseases, any connective tissue diseases you got, neurological disease. Oh my gosh, do we have some whole food healing on tap after this? Thank you for being here. Remember, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. And this is the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming every day through naturalnewsradio.com. I'll be right back.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
As promised, I told you I'd get my good friend back on board here, and we love him dearly. He's added so much to the Robert Scott Bell Show over the years. He's not a doc. His name is his disclaimer. My good friend Christopher Barr returns to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Chris, welcome back.
Oh, always great to be on with you, Robert, when we can get our schedules to merge and meld together there. I love being on your broadcast.
Well, it's really a critical component to bring people back to whole food when they understand nutrients, nutrient supplementation, and all of the things necessary for recovery, much less than maintenance and then beginning to thrive again, which so many people may not have. You know my story, my audience knows my story, and how this has been integral to my recovery as well. But we'll kick off today with a big story. You know, you sent me this through Health Day. They published this, another study they found. It could almost be a moment of duh, but they said this, the headline anyway, with calcium, more may not be better. Now, we've been talking about this for years, but what is it? The science is finally catching up? What's going on here, Chris?
Well, it's even crazier than that because the title says more may not be better, but the whole article and the study they're citing don't just note that it may not be better, that it isn't better. So it's like they're afraid to actually tell the truth but feel obligated to put it out there in maybe an easier way, maybe a little spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this. In fact, I've been telling people 800 milligrams is the maximum calcium anyone should take, or should get, rather, and that most people get pretty close to that if they eat any kind of a diet in America. And yet this article showed that 750 was the maximum. We're talking about a 20-year study with more than 60,000 women from the same place where they give the Nobel Prize from. It's out at the Uppsala University in Sweden.
Sweden, yes.
It's a massive study.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
Sweden, yeah. We got some Swedish meatballs. Do they have calcium?
Yeah. Actually, they do.
Yeah. Well,
so they have a massive, lengthy study that shows when you go above 750 milligrams that there's no further benefit, and furthermore, that the higher you go above 750, even up to 800 milligrams, it begins to increase the risk of fractures and osteoporosis.
Yeah, that's
it. The higher you go above,
yeah,
the worse it gets.
You know, and it's even worse than that. You know, I had Dr. Carolyn Dean on again. She's such a sweetheart, and she's so knowledgeable. And we were talking about that very same issue, that not only was it bad for the skeletal system, and as well as the muscular system, but it was bad for the arterial system. I mean, it was just devastating. Yet they push calcium everywhere you go, probably because it's so cheap and plentiful, and they can charge a lot of money and make a lot of profit on it.
Yes, that's right. The primary form that's usually available is calcium carbonate, and that's chalk. So, you know, if you went down to the school supply store, you could get a box of chalk for $1.50. And to get that same amount of calcium supplement, which would be the same thing as the chalk,
yes,
they might get $10 or more from you for the
very profitable
amount of calcium carbonate.
Yeah, and by the way, this study was, it's not like a schlock journal, it was in the British Medical Journal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and just not too long before this, they had another article that noted increased calcium intake, as you've already noted, Dr. Dean noted, increases heart disease and breakdown in the arteries of the body. So that's heart disease.
Yeah, it's that's why they call it calcification. They don't call it cholesterolification. It's calcification.
You know, that's a great point, Robert.
You know, we tend to make them once in a while here, but you inspire me, you know. It's really funny. And that's the thing. In the natural products industry, there's still a lot of misinformation. We've been in it and doing things within it for a long time, and you've been a real champion for the whole food concept, which is growing steadily, thankfully. But still, there's a lot of misinformation. All the people, you know, that call me that are still taking calcium supplements, and I just say, why? Well, my doctor said I need calcium to prevent osteoporosis. Now we're showing you right here. Even the science shows that's not right.
Yes, that's right. Well, the science actually always has shown that. I learned this more than 30 years ago from Dr. Guy Abraham, an obstetric gynecologist and a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the medical school at UCLA out in California. Big school. He had published medical journal articles and studies on calcium interfering with bone strength, and that magnesium was more important. And then, of course, I came across the great work of Dr. Louis Kervran, Dr. Richard Barmakian, Dr. Klaus Schwartz, Edith Carlisle, also from UCLA, on silicon. And that the real key to bone strength is the mineral silica, or silicon, and that calcium actually gets in the way of silicon's strengthening of the bone. So it's something that I learned more than 30 years ago, and I've seen numerous studies since then, and for some reason this one caught the attention of the media, finally, more than 30 years thereafter.
Well, you know, it's even worse because you get governmental dunderheads sending out press releases still that deny this kind of science. Not only that, I saw recently a municipally treated city water report. Like some communities get these reports from their county or whatever, and they talk about all the things. Here's the water quality assessment, and then they say, and here's the fluoride to strengthen your teeth. And of course, we know it does the opposite, similar to the way we're talking about calcium weakening the bones and having the opposite effect, fluoride as well. So there's still so much misinformation promoting itself as science when it is not science. It is, in fact, promoting industry and ability to sell cheap and sometimes dangerous products to the public.
Well, in the case of calcium, it is dangerous, whether it's heart disease or weakening the bone. And, you know, there's a quote from Dr. Robert Recker, president of the National Osteoporosis Foundation. You know, the media went and ran to this guy. He's supposed to know about osteoporosis, I guess. And they presented him this new study from the British Medical Journal, almost 20 years, 60,000 women. And he said, I would not even consider changing my recommendation to patients based on this. Yeah. So he said, I still will tell my patients to take 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams per day. That's what's called for. Hmm. So this guy, he doesn't want to be confused with the facts. His mind's made up.
So what do we call him? A silicon denialist?
And a calcium denialist.
Yeah.
Because he's denying
the science
about
calcium.
Science that calcium causes bone fractures and bone loss.
Yeah, of course, you know, I don't mean to make light of the term denialist because it's often used by the scientific orthodoxy to attack those who simply question the orthodoxy or the consensus, despite the fact that the science is on our side and we're relaying actually what is. It's kind of like a dermatologist claiming that the sun causes cancer, as well as, what other myths are being perpetuated out there in so-called science, you know, that we've identified. And this is another area where calcium is the problem, not the solution. And yet, who leaves a doctor's office, a woman over 50, without a so-called prescription for calcium supplements? None of them.
Yeah, and it's causing them more problems. I can't even tell you through the years how many women I've told, stop taking your calcium, take Alta Health product silica. They go back to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, I guess that calcium's finally kicked in because your bone density has increased. or they'll say, oh, I guess that Boneva or that Fosamax or whatever drug that they're giving them, I guess that's finally kicked in. And no, they'll even tell them, that's not what I did. I took this silica, and they just kind of either roll their eyes or shrug their shoulders. Sometimes they just ignore what they said and repeat the statement.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that calcium has finally kicked in. They just ignore it on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. And
so
I remember,
I've seen this over and over.
I remember dealing with my mother, who's now 76. Thankfully, she's on zero drugs. And she's one of the moms that actually listens to her son. I had funny talk with Dr. Batar last Monday with Advanced Medicine Monday. He was saying how his mother wouldn't listen to him, but listen to one of the doctors that he actually trained to say the same thing. It was okay, but your son was persona non grata. But anyway, she had called me and said, you know, she went for a bone scan, and they said she was getting a little osteoporotic. It wasn't severe, but they wanted her to consider, obviously, the drug treatments and more calcium. I said, Mom, you got to back off. You got to ramp up the Alta Silica. And she did that, and the next scan she went in for, I don't know, it was even maybe a couple of months later, it wasn't that long, and showed the density had returned, not by increasing calcium, but by increasing silicon intake.
Yes, you know, this is something that was discovered in the 1950s in Europe, and in this country, Dr. Edith Carlisle in 1960 spent more than, from that point, 40 years at UCLA examining the effectiveness of silicon for skeletal integrity. So this is well established. It's just ignored.
Now, when we talk about the reintroduction of silicon in a again, food-grown form. People can do the horsetail extracts. There are a lot of liquid forms out there. We've found that the tablet in the whole food form from Alta is very optimal. And, you know, I've been telling people a 5,000 milligrams a day, sometimes to preload, sometimes even more than that. And they're not having any adverse events except the acceleration of the restoration of a lot of integrity, skeletal, musculoskeletal, connective tissue, and beyond. And we'll get into a lot of that today. We've got a couple of more segments to go. But it is a fascinating subject how something as vital as silica has been so overlooked by so many, medical and nutritional.
Yes, it's such a shame. And then, you know, people get other forms of silica. They get ground up rocks, crystal liquefied or crystal that's ground up. And although those contain the element silicon, it's not in a biological form in which the body readily utilizes it. So it either doesn't work very well at all, and in some cases can even be harmful over long term. So you need to get a complete vegetal or whole food form. And some people start taking horsetail grass in large amounts. Even that's a problem because horsetail grass contains a certain amount of crystal and a particular enzyme, thiaminase, which can break down thiamin, which means you'll get muscle weakness and B1 deficiencies. So the old European herbalists knew that the tea worked very well, but the whole plant didn't work very well. Well, it wasn't until 30 years ago when we discovered these things that we knew why that the tea worked, and that's exactly what Alta Health Product Silica is. It's a concentrated, literally they make giant vats of tea and then dehydrate it. That's what the tablet is.
Nice.
So there's no thiaminase. There's no crystals left. That's all been taken care of through the water process. So if you just take horsetail grass, that's whole food. But if you take large amounts or over long periods of time, even that can be a problem. So sometimes a little science is a good thing, even with the whole food arena. And you really need to concentrate on 100% whole food silicon, a complete vegetal form, from Alta Health Products. I've worked with it for more than 30 years and seen what others call miracles on almost a routine basis.
Well, we'll talk to you about how you can get that as well from our good friend Jonathan at ChooseToBeHealthy.com. But I want to talk to Chris when we come back from this break about many more uses for silicon and how it can prevent serious, serious problems, including issues such as cancer metastasis. Man, this is fantastic here. Chris Barr is my guest. We'll be right back on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember the phone number if you want to leave a message for me, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Email list up at robertscottbell.com. Sign up there and at naturalnewsradio.com. More with Chris after this.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscles, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, back at you. The power to heal is yours here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And I've got my dear friend, Christopher Barr. He's with me. And we're talking silicon. We've covered selenium. We've covered chromium. We've covered so many things, and we'll keep covering them. But this one, I asked him specifically, we really need to do an in-depth discussion to get the understanding of the way to use it, what it's used for, how much, how little, all of that, and also bust the myth, or crumble the myth, I should say, of calcium and calcium carbonate and chalk as a supplement. Chris, welcome back. Glad to have you with me.
Hey, great to be here. And again, to address something that's so vitally important to get people to stop taking calcium. In more than 30 years' time, I could count on one hand the people who actually had a need for a calcium supplement. And you know, with silicon and, again, the mindset that's out there. You know, you were talking about your mother, Robert. I have to bring this because it's such a concise example.
Yes.
A few years ago, a woman runs a health food store 100 miles from here. And she told me that she had a friend that came in, and the doctor had told her she was, you know, at that age, and her test showed she had a loss of bone density. It was small, and he told her that he wanted to put her on one of the bone drugs. And she said, well, you know, you said it's small, and so he basically, long story short, he said, well, we'll wait till your next checkup, and if it doesn't improve, we're going to have to put you on some kind of medication. Well, she learned from her friend about Alpha Health product silica and started taking, I think, four a day. And 3 months later, when she went back to the doctor noted, oh, the bone density had increased almost back to normal. But then he said, you know, he insisted on putting her on a drug because he said, well, what she had was osteopenia. So the previous checkup, her bone density problem was worse, but he didn't give a name to it.
Okay.
Now that it had improved but not quite gotten back to normal, he attached a name of osteopenia and said he insisted on putting on a drug. Well, she told him no, and 3 months later, after just that much, a little bit of silica for a day.
Yes.
From Alta Health products, which is normally a maintenance amount.
Yeah, that's not much. I mean, I've put people on 12 or more a day to really load them up at the beginning.
Well, after 6 months, she was fine.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how the doctor, when she was worse, let her have some time. And when she got better, insisted, well, you need to take the drug anyway because you're not back completely to normal yet.
Wow.
Which, of course, happened when she discontinued with the silica.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And when you say stop taking calcium, I don't want anybody to freak out. I mean, the reality is it's a macro mineral. It is so widely available. I mean, there are very few, as you said, counting on one hand. There are so few people that genuinely have a calcium deficiency. It is just one of those things that even with all the degradation that we've seen to the soils and such, calcium is still widely available. And very few people actually have a deficiency. And in fact, you know, when there are imbalances in the body, we see the leaching of calcium from the bones. But that's another story of let's say, the body trying to find another level of stasis. We can talk about mineral deficiencies leading to that.
Yes, that's from bad eating habits causing calcium loss, not because you're not getting enough calcium. Again, that's a matter of homeostasis, and maybe we're getting a little too far afoot there from a regular health broadcast for folks to understand. But,
no, that's all right. But I think that, you know, referencing these points, because there are a lot of health professionals and nutritionists out there learning about some of these things for the first time. So I don't mind straying a bit as we go forward here. So we talk about utilizing the whole food silica. We talked about the difference in the, you know, forms of the horsetail extracts, the tea and how it's concentrated. I mean, these are fascinating things that even I, you know, every time we're together, I get to learn some more from you. So when we continue on here, moving on to the other benefits that silica has, it's not only about skeletal integrity, which is huge, don't get me wrong, but there's so much more.
Oh, so very much more. You know, in fact, the company, just to play it safe, has always used an advertising campaign that it's an internal beauty cosmetic because it helps to keep the skin youthful and wrinkle-free and supple. It's strong and yet elastic. You know, people go get expensive collagen treatments when all they really need is silicon, because silicon is the key to collagen formation. And, of course, that's nothing compared to bone strength and cardiovascular health. Cadaver studies 50 years ago, when they first identified silicon as a nutritional element in the European area in the 50s, when they did a cadaver study, they found that when they looked at people who had died from heart disease, they had very little silicon in their heart and in their arterial system. But in people who had died from an accident or with a healthy cardiovascular system, they found an abundance of silicon in the heart and in the arterial tissue. Again, silicon is for both strength and elasticity of the tissues, not just of the skin on the outside, but all of that which holds us together on the inside.
Mm.
So, yes, silicon deficiency is basically, you can't have heart disease without having a silicon deficiency. In fact, the three most removed items from the common food supply are silicon, selenium, and chromium. And when you look at Americans dying number one of heart disease for the last 50 years and see that 100 years ago they began taking more than 90% of these three elements out, well, let's just break it down real simply, Robert. Silicon is to maintain the strength and elasticity of the arteries. Selenium protects against damage to those arteries, and chromium feeds the heart muscle and the tissues of the arteries. So when you have those three gone, you start having a weakening of the cardiovascular system because of a lack of silicon, which makes it more open to attack, and there's selenium reduced, so you don't have the protection from the attack on the weakened tissue, which is further weakened because it doesn't have the chromium that feeds the tissue. So it's no wonder that heart disease is the number one killer, and a central part of that is a lack of silicon.
Yeah, and critical to this understanding as well, you know, I mentioned calcification of the arteries, not cholesterolification of the arteries. We know that we have inflammation there. It was the starting point of the so-called cardiovascular, let's call it, the whole area of disease and degradation, inflammation. And what we don't acknowledge, or we do, but the medical profession, certainly the cardiologists don't seem to acknowledge, is that the source of the damage, you mentioned selenium being protective of that, are these free radicals, these metabolic wastes, these environmental toxins, all the things that selenium protects us against. And when the inflammation hits, it is so critical for, of course, repair to happen, the collagen to regrow, you know, to grow over the areas of injury. There are cytokines, there's inflammatory cascades and responses, but it's all to promote healing. But when people don't know this, because there's no symptoms cardiovascularly, if you will, that people notice at this point, then this pattern keeps going and going and going, and they don't do anything different in their life, so they keep promoting this pro-inflammatory lifestyle and diet. And eventually they have this so-called patching and patching and calcification of the arteries. Now, the silica is critical for the repair of the connective tissue, which in most cases is not happening because it's not in their diet and they haven't changed their lifestyle. So this chronic issue becomes a life-threatening issue. And this is, again, a critical point that you bring up. I'm glad you brought all three of those up in that equation.
Well, and there actually is a symptom that manifests that people don't know about, but if they looked, they would know.
Yes.
I tell people that fingernails, if you have fingernails that are soft, don't grow well, break easily, flake or peel away, that's an indicator of the status of your bones and of your arterial system. If your fingernails are doing that, then your bones and your cardiovascular system are not being maintained well. They're soft, flaking, peeling away, breaking. The same thing. So with fingernails can be a very accurate indicator of silicon health in the body, which means health of the cardiovascular system and of the bones.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a pathway back to healing, and it's not even high tech. I mean, it's food. Let your medicine be your food. And I was just on the Savage Nation last night. Michael Savage had me back on, and we were talking about how ridiculous it is that the FDA, you know, even with science, even if you reference peer-reviewed science, like we could reference this issue of calcium being bad for you or whatever, but here the case we mentioned of the cherry growers. I mentioned that on Savage again last night, and talking about, well, the criminal cherry farmers dared to mention that there was peer-reviewed science that said cherries are good for gout, perhaps arthritic inflammation, right? And suddenly they get the cease and desist. Your cherries are now an unapproved new drug, not generally recognized as safe as or effective for the thing you've referenced. And you know, here we are. Food is the medicine. I mean, our regulatory agencies are absolutely insane. I don't know how to say it any kinder or gentler.
Well, corrupt. Well, I guess I wouldn't be gentler, though.
No. You know, it's not necessary to be gentle here. We can be pretty rough about it because it's appropriate. These yahoos in government. And, of course, the Congress critters that actually basically abdicate their responsibility according to the Constitution and turn over the rulemaking authority, you know, so that Americans are not allowed to know what food does. And of course, you know, we don't. We know, in fact, selenium, for instance, can prevent cancer more than anything. It can treat cancer, as you've covered on this show before, as Jonathan Ewart has sued the FDA now 6-7 times in one, but they still don't want you to know that. So we've got a lot of work to do still, Chris. I mean, even though there's a lot of people listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show, they hear you have a show every day as well, and of course they're reading Natural News, but we're still fractionally small and growing fast, but a lot of people we need to still tell.
Yes, well, the information on silicon is growing fast. I'm getting more and more reports on people finally discovering this, and you know, there's so much more. We haven't even touched on Alzheimer's disease, which is largely a silicon deficiency, and then also cancer, which silicon can play a vital role in actually the treatment of cancer. It doesn't actually kill cancer. It's a little bit around the block, but it's very important and critical and can be very beneficial.
Yes.
So we haven't even got to those aspects of silicon nutrition and its importance for the body.
Well, let's do that. When we come back from this break, I got one more dynamic, wonderful healing segment with my good friend Christopher Barr. notadoc.org is his website. I got it linked up, and as well as that study we referenced earlier about the calcium, so you can read it with your own eyes. We're not making this stuff up. How can we? It's too bizarre. But it's always rooted in the facts here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Coming right back, one more segment with Christopher Barr after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
What is the number one secret to all your health problems? I'll give you a hint. Dr. Alexis Carroll kept chicken heart tissue alive for 28 years in a test tube. He said the cells remained youthful so long as the metabolic wastes were washed away. But when wastes were allowed to accumulate in and around the cell would age and then die. So the key to radiant health is cellular cleanliness. And the key to keeping the cells clean of chemicals, free radicals, and heavy metals that we are bombarded with in our society is glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by every cell of the body. Glutathione levels decline due to toxicity and aging. The number one food to replenish your body's glutathione levels up to 64% or more is unheated, grass-fed whey protein powder. This miraculous superfood may do more for your health than any other supplement you've ever taken. To get your free report on the best whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Definitely a special silicon edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show today. And no, not silicone, silicon. And of course, the con is really the doctors trying to promote calcium and all these other non-food supplements. And that's a big crime. And that's what we reveal, you know, just about every day here, but certainly even more so when Chris Barr joins me. And he does again as we wrap up the silicon discussion. And there's a lot more to go. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, and it's not just in the medical arena. In the nutritional arena, there's been a gross ignorance of silicon, even though in Europe they got ahead on this back in the 50s and 60s into the present day. In America, it took until the 60s and 70s, but it's still largely unknown, even in nutrition. Let's go to Alzheimer's first and then get to cancer.
Sure.
Alzheimer's disease, for years, the nutrition industry has warned about the dangers of aluminum. And certainly aluminum is not something that's a good item to take into your body. And they've noted this because Alzheimer's tangles in the brain have aluminum in them. But the real reason isn't because of the aluminum. It's because of a lack of silicon. Silicon manages aluminum. In the absence of silicon, there's no management of the aluminum that gets into the body, so it causes these tangles because of, again, a lack of strength. Also, silicon is a semiconductor in computers. It works the same in your CPU that's called your brain. When you look at aluminum in the Earth's crust, it's almost always found in the form of silicon aluminate. So it's the absence of silicon rather than the presence of aluminum that contributes to the breakdown of brain tissue, the tangles, and then the lack of the ability for the neurons to fire properly because the semiconductor that runs the computer industry also is necessary for your computer, for your CPU called your brain.
Yeah,
this has been noted in studies through the years. The last 20 years, I've seen several studies in medical journals noting the heightened amount of Alzheimer's disease found in people with lower levels of silicon when they actually bother to look at that, and that higher amounts of silicon are shown associated with lower Alzheimer's disease incidence.
Yes, and I want to reiterate here, Chris, the silicon chip concept, right? We talk about the brain, the nervous system. That is definitely a parallel. It's sort of like art imitating life or science imitating nature in the computer realm. But the aluminum issue, I mean, we're not advocating consuming large quantities of aluminum, but what you're bringing to bear here is really quite extraordinary, that the deficiency is the big issue. It's kind of like when you mentioned the issue of cadmium. We're not big fans of cadmium, but we know the real danger is that it binds the selenium, or selenium binds the cadmium out. So you reduce the selenium, and all bets are off on health when the selenium is dropped. So I want you to reiterate that again, because it's a significant, almost a revolutionary statement you made about the aluminum-silicon relationship as it relates to Alzheimer's.
Yes. Again, as you said, aluminum is not something we want to take into the body. But it's not the predominant factor in Alzheimer's disease. Rather, it's the lack of the silicon that the brain needs for the operation of the brain and to keep the integrity of the vascular system within the brain. It's the lack of silicon that allows the aluminum to then be the problem that the aluminum is. So that's not to say aluminum isn't a problem. It simply isn't the primary problem. it's a secondary one because the primary issue is a lack, a gross lack of silicon for a sustained period of time. You know, Robert, whole grains contain an abundance of silicon, and 95% of the silicon is removed when they refine whole grains into white flour. The only other high source is in dark leafy greens that once upon a time people in America ate frequently, all the time. And now it's hardly consumed at all, and some never consume dark leafy greens. So if you're eating white flour and little or no dark leafy greens, you're getting little or no silicon throughout your lifetime.
And, of course, we have the added insult of the cholesterol mythology that is putting most of our elders and younger elders into their 40s and 50s and some younger, I hear, on statin drugs reducing cholesterol, which is so critical for brain and neurological health. And that is also contributing to Alzheimer's. So we're not going to overlook the need for omega-3 essential fats, EPA, DHA. We know these things, but the people don't seem to know about the silicon relationship here.
Yes, which is so vital. And it's in the literature. It just doesn't get attention. You know, it's like one thing that isn't in the literature in regard to silicon, but is in relation to collagen, and that's with cancer. Cancer, the way it gets talked about, it's made up to be like some monster that's devouring cells throughout your body. And really what's going on with the cancer tumor or cancer cells is they emit an enzyme that breaks down collagen to make room for the cancer cells to grow. Well, the primary constituent for making collagen is silicon. So when you have an absence of silicon, as most people do severely, well, there's a greater, more rapid spread of cancer. So anyone with cancer should be taking large amounts of silicon. Now, Dr. Matthias Rath has found the process, so he uses high doses of a lot of different synthetic nutrient compounds and amino acids to try and build up collagen. That's how I learned this, Robert.
Right, right.
I saw what Rath was doing, and I went, oh, that's brilliant, but he's using the wrong substance. So I started having people utilize silicon and saw tremendous improvements in their cancer treatment by putting large doses of silicon.
Yeah, he was supporting the process via, we talked about it, of vitamin C-mo-therapy, right? It's pharmaceutical light. It's the C, the lysine, and I forget what else he was using at that, what, green tea extract, ECGC or something. But, I mean, the thing is, you have seen clinically, I've seen this a lot of this as well, by utilizing the silicon, you can do a lot of the things that he's trying to do by a different method.
Yes, by the method that the body intends. You know, vitamin C through the years has gotten credit for collagen formation, but actually vitamin C is a backup mechanism that the body utilizes in the absence of silicon, which is much more efficient and in much smaller amounts you're able to accomplish greater accomplishments than the large amounts of vitamin C that would not normally be called for in the human body.
So when we talk about shoring up the connective tissue again, this is, we know that cancer metastasizes via weakened or finding ways to move through the connective tissue. Having it stronger obviously will prevent the metastasis. We don't ignore selenium again. We don't ignore all the things that we know contributes to the depletion of immune function as well. But taking or let's say ramping up or loading back in that which has been so missing. I mentioned the level 5,000 milligrams. I'm not saying that's a magic level, but you know, in a lot of ways, I throw that out there, and people have a very rapid response. Whereas you said even much less than that. Maybe it was 1,000 milligrams or so, approximate. And this woman, over a course of a few months, was able to restore a lot of skeletal integrity. So I guess it's just a matter of how fast you want to go.
Yes, that's right. In fact, I tell people whenever they present with obvious silicon deficiencies. Knees and joints, hips, low back pains, shoulder injuries. I tell them, try my silica challenge. I tell them to take 12 a day of the Alta Health product silica, and by doing that, breaking it up three, four times a day, morning, noon, evening, bedtime, and do that for 3 weeks, and let me know if that makes any difference. And in almost every instance for 30 years, the response I get back very often is one word, wow. I can accurately state I've never known anyone that was scheduled for a hip replacement or a knee replacement surgery that didn't cancel that surgery because it was unnecessary after they went on that silica challenge and then continued from sometimes with 12 a day a while longer, sometimes dropping it back to 8 and then getting back to a maintenance level. But they're able to rebuild cartilage, ligaments, bones, the strength of the joints is restored. Once you restore that which has been missing for so very long and in such a very great amount, and that's the element silicon, that really was the key the whole time anyway.
Chris, that's a perfect place to wrap up today's show. You have crescendoed it, and I appreciate so much. So the challenge is on, everybody. Take the silicon challenge. Call up Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com. His number 866-424-1077, 866-424-1077, or go to choosetobehealthy.com. Take the silicon challenge, as Chris says, 12 a day for 3 weeks. Tell me you don't feel better and different in a good and positive and powerful way. I want to hear from you. And Chris, thank you so much for joining me again. I always enjoy it.
Thanks, Robert. Any time that we can get together, it's always great.
All right. Well, we've got a great Healing Revolution Friday tomorrow coming up with Dr. Frank King and more. We're going to talk about quitting smoking, getting over addiction. Oh, man, that's going to be good. And lots more surprises. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show, cranking it up every day on Natural News Radio. I'm here to remind you every day, simply this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.